Hi, I'm Brandon Bernhardt.
I'm Adrian Cosnick.
And this is Friendemonium
Podcast. Didn't know we'd started.
So, I'm trying original jokes for the first time, so be gentle.
Lay it on me. That's what she said.
So, as you probably know, near record-breaking heat is in the forecast for the Portland area this week. And at that point, I think a lot of us will be praying for a successful North Korean missile test.
What?
We'll want to be dead, is the joke. It'll be so hot, we'll want to be dead, is the joke.
Our listeners in Arizona are laughing at us. But if you had a real problem, folks.
Is Arizona within range of North Korea? I think I saw the map, but I didn't see if Arizona. I heard it can reach Chicago, so I mean.
Okay, well, fuck me, because I don't want to hear about that. I was making a point that it's like 125 degrees in Arizona, and it's like they probably wish it was 106.
Also. After the success of Michael Phelps pretending to race against a CGI shark, Ryan Lochte proposed a special show for next Shark Week where he tries to race Jabberjaw.
What's a Jabberjaw?
So the joke is that Ryan Lochte is really stupid, and Jabberjaw is an animated shark from a Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
Okay, I know that, so maybe folks who did know that would think that's funny.
Okay,
He did race a shark, sort of.
But wasn't it a CGI shark?
Well, so they, like, took the speed at which a shark could actually go, and they just, they said, okay, this is the time you have to beat, and Michael Phelps tried to beat that time. And then when they filmed it, he was just swimming in the ocean, you know, but then they show the shark kind of, like, next to him.
Do we want to just talk about Shark Week stuff right now?
Shoot, I guess we better. We may as well, because now you've done a lovely segue into it.
So yeah, you watched the Michael Phelps thing. For listeners who don't know, I mean,
don't follow Shark Week.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, Adrian just went like point by point how it worked. what this story was. Yeah. So.
It was called Great Gold versus Great White or something. Really just terrific. He was really good natured about it. Like, you could tell it was like just like a fun, stupid thing for him. He probably got paid a lot of money to do it, because why else would you?
Well, I mean, he does like Subway commercials, so like...
that I'm sure makes bank. But so he was in South Africa in like 50 degree water, so like something.
South Africa.
See, the Africa meat. and it was like, the water was like insanely cold. Like, obviously he's not used to swimming in that kind of water. And he was like, this is too cold. And he was wearing a 1 millimeter or something obscene wetsuit, maybe 5 millimeters. I don't know. A wetsuit that was super, super, super thin that he may as well not have been wearing anything. And he says that's what slowed him down, was the cold.
It's like wearing nothing at all. Nothing at all. That's The Simpsons. You don't watch The Simpsons.
I know that. I vaguely remember that.
Stupid sexy Phelps. Flaps.
He has sexy Phelps. Anyway, I don't know. It was just a stupid whatever ratings. It was an hour and 10 minutes long, and he didn't actually race the shark until like the last 2 minutes.
I mean, are we shocked that this guy who... like, does Olympic-style racing once every 4 years, beats an animal that swims 100% of its life? Or is beaten by an animal?
Yeah. We're not shocked. What I am shocked by is how close it actually was. It was within, like, a second. It was really close.
I heard people were super pissed about it because it wasn't actually him next to a shark in an Olympic swimming pool or whatever.
People actually... of course they thought that. Of course they would think that we would just bring a shark.
Or that maybe he would be in the ocean. But how could you... You can't train a shark to...
No, you can't train a great white shark. To be fair, he was in the ocean. And spoilers, though. He did lose. But he was even wearing fins, which is my absolute favorite part. He was wearing.
Is that cheating though?
No, it was. Well, I don't know.
Because if you're going like man versus shark, right. I mean, why give him the animal advantage?
That's true, I guess. That's true. Either way.
Do you think we're venturing though into gladiatorial sort of combat territory where, like, back then, you know, people would fight lions and bears and stuff like that?
Well, if we are going towards that direction, we will lose because animals will always win. I've been saying for like a decade that the animals are trying to rise up against us. Why do we think that the orcas in SeaWorld kept killing people?
Well, there was that documentary recently with Woody Harrelson where he talked about apes rising up and creating a war against humans. Did you hear about that, this documentary?
good one. Yes. I'm picking up what you're putting down. No. All right, so back to Shark Week. Let's talk about some fun shark facts.
Okay, yeah. So we each decided to talk about just a shark related story or incident or shark
as it were.
Fun facts about sharks.
Fun fact. And of course, because I'm a woman with a bleeding vagina, I get to talk about bleeding vaginas.
Well, do you want to talk about that now?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, unless you want to go first.
Nope. You brought it up. Let's talk about bloody veg.
Gross.
As it relates to sharks.
As it relates to sharks. Okay. So apparently it's a thing that people think that menstruating women can attract sharks. And there is a lot of information out there about this. And it comes around about once a year, about this time every year. And I suspect it is in relation to Shark Week that people start talking about this.
Well, I've heard women euphemistically refer to their period as Shark
Week. Their own menstrual cycle as Shark Week. Yes, yeah. That is a thing that some women with uteruses say. Yep. Okay, so do menstruating women attract sharks? So the short answer is no. Some scientists say we're not sure, and like it's been hard to study, and I guess there's been some studies done with bears and different types of blood, but there's been nothing conclusive about, yes or no, that menstrual fluid attracts sharks.
So have there been any cases where
no.
a woman, like... has been attacked by a shark while...
No, there is not.
I imagine that's not something they ask a woman who's been attacked by a shark, like...
Oh, well, were you menstruating at the time?
Like that joke in Ghostbusters where Bill Murray asked the librarian, he's like, are you, Alice, menstruating right now? And the guy's like, what's that got to do with it? And he's like, back off, man, I'm a scientist. It's like that.
Okay, well...
Let me do the rest of Ghostbusters while we're here. No,
Okay, so what's interesting about some of this is that it seems to be that, like, remember when NASA wanted to send Sally Ride up into space and they're like, how many tampons do you need? 100? And she was like,
should we take a separate space shuttle full of tampons just in case?
Okay, so all that to say that men, like, non-menstruating individuals don't seem to really understand how a lot of this works. And it seems to be that a lot of men think that menstruation could potentially attract a shark. And women who, you know, have been diving are like, yeah, no, that's not a thing. So here's a quote from Marie Levine, who is she's with a nonprofit. She's the founder of a nonprofit called the Shark Research Institute. She says, I've been diving for decades and even got my period while underwater with a school of hammerheads. The sharks were not interested and I had to fin like crazy to get close to them. So yeah, no, it's not a thing.
I would be nervous to go diving with a hangnail. So if I were a woman, I would probably not.
Well, plenty of these men are saying better safe than sorry, and okay, here's some more interesting stuff. Some surfer named Laird. Laird Hamilton, apparently, just a couple months ago, was accosted by TMZ and said that we need to, that women need, like, no, sharks aren't attacking humans, and we're not prey for humans, but obviously if you're a woman having your period, you're going to be attacked. He says, quoth he, "The biggest, most common reason to be bitten is a woman with her period, which people don't even think about that. Obviously, if a woman has her period, then there's a certain amount of blood in the water."
Obviously.
Obviously. All right, so here's some fun facts. Women lose, on average, 35 milliliters to 50 milliliters, about 1.2 fluid ounces to 1.7 fluid ounces, of blood during a menstruation cycle. So, you know. In the ocean, that's, like, literally.
Well, and, was it last week or week before, we were talking about swim diapers. And, like, if a swim diaper can hold in a turd, like, I imagine, like, a tampon would.
In theory, yes. So, yeah. In fact, the amount of blood loss during menstruation is probably less than the average scrape or cut that a kid or surfer may get while playing in the water. A shark researcher that spoke to HuffPost, so you know it's legit.
I actually saw a diagram of the most and least trusted news sources.
Oh, I'm sure HuffPost is like.
Yeah, it's one of the least. Yeah, it's like with like BuzzFeed and Breitbart. And, like,
Explains that kids with minor injuries aren't commonly attacked by sharks, so it's unlikely that the animals would bite menstruating women, losing more than 2 fluid ounces of blood over the span of a week. The bottom line is that it takes a lot more than just a little blood to get a shark's attention. So, we can put that one to bed.
No, and that's good to know, because it does seem like it's very common. I mean, I don't know how much it's hampering people from going surfing or whatever.
Well, to have, you know, tampon ads tell us that it doesn't, you shouldn't let it get in the way of your active lifestyle. Yeah, I have never given it any thought, probably because I don't go surfing. I don't know.
That's interesting. I haven't seen it, but hopefully they bring it up in 47 meters down.
Well, I was just thinking about that. In 47 meters down, when it's those two women and the shark thing, and they're being snuffed out and underwater.
I could see that raising the tension even more. Like, they're underwater, it's already tense. You want to just dial it up to 11. Oh, I'm on my period.
That would dial it up to 11, indeed. Yeah. All right.
47 meters down or below?
47 meters down. Oh, okay. 47 meters below. Ooh, now I guess I don't know. I think
it's not a good title. They should have named it something.
Hold on. I texted you earlier today about it. Because I saw the sign. So let me double check.
I think it's down, but
below? I texted you 47 meters down. So, okay. Yes.
Right. I think that's right. Yeah.
Makes more sense than below.
Mm-hmm. So, so the one I have is also kind of urban legend-y, but I'll start by saying this. Dutch merchant William Bozeman wrote in A New and Accurate Description of the Coast of Guinea in 1705, quote, "When dead slaves are thrown overboard, I have sometimes, not without horror, seen the dismal rapaciousness of these animals. Four or five of them together shoot to the bottom under the ship to tear the dead corpse to pieces, and each bit an arm, a leg, or the head is napped off."
Shut up. That's not real.
"And before you can tell 20 have sometimes divided the body amongst them so nicely that not the least particle is left."
This is not real, because we just talked about how humans are not prey for sharks.
So, there is an unsubstantiated rumor that shark migration was changed by the slave trade between Africa and the Americas. And according to rumor, sharks
South Africa?
Probably. According to the rumors,
too soon for slave jokes.
Sharks follow the boats as the dead or diseased bodies were tossed overboard for an easy meal.
No.
And I mean, that did happen. And I mean, it's never been scientifically proven that their migration patterns changed. But it is clear that sharks did follow slave ships along with other ships.
How is that clear? How do we know? Show me the receipts.
Because this guy, Dutch merchant, there's firsthand accounts of...
Because he couldn't possibly be making it up.
Well, it was common at the time for sharks to, or, I mean, even nowadays, to follow fishing ships there are boats from, I forget where, that, like, just take goats out in the ocean and throw them over, and sharks swarm around them. And
why?
Like, dead goat. I don't know, but...
No! Hold up! I need to know about why people would be taking goats into the ocean and just throwing them overboard.
Or they could be traveling somewhere else with goats, and then the goats die, and so they throw the dead ones overboard. It could be that I'm thinking of.
This is all very questionable.
But...
We'll be Googling goat deaths. In international waters after this.
But with whaling ships or fishing ships, it's okay. Something that's common, right? Where sharks attack, like, especially with the whaling ships of olden day. I mean, people do whale. But, when it was more common. Like, have you read The Old Man and the Sea? Like, the majority of the story is him trying to keep a shark away from eating his swordfish that he caught. And so sharks would, like, with whaling ships, they would tow the whale alongside the boat, and sharks would get at the whale. And so it's a common thing, and I guess it has happened with the corpses of slaves that they would...
Sorry, my mom sent me a video of a kitten. Okay, yeah, but... So do you think they just, like... Do you think they were just non-discriminatory of, like... Food is food. Like, do you think? So we know that sharks eat, like, seals, right? That's their, like, thing.
I think there's a trail of bodies. It's easy food, and it's why a lot of sharks attack people,
right? Like, on beaches, and whatever,
because they think it's food. Yeah. I don't know if they know the difference between, like, a corpse. I don't know, but I mean, they'll attack them. So
sure.
But sharks were known to follow slave ships all the way into port, which made bathing or wading in the river extremely dangerous. Like, the sharks would follow the boats even up a river, and then the guys would get out and, like, get in and then get attacked by sharks.
Oh, shit. I hate it when that happens.
A lot of this comes from, actually, early abolitionist literature,
okay,
trying to talk about the horror of slavery, and
sure,
like, talk about, oh, it's so bad that, you know, they're tossing bodies over, sharks are dismembering these bodies. They tried to make it seem, you know, well, it was barbaric, and so the abolitionists used this shark thing to try to curry favor, like, with other people. I don't know. So it did happen, but to the extent that it actually changed migration patterns is not scientifically
substantiated.
But sharks do and have, like, a long history of following ships that people are tossing meat off of.
Okay, all right.
But it's hyperbole to say that shark migration patterns were permanently changed by the slave trade. But, like, there are a lot, or all facets of the slave trade that were pretty, pretty awful.
But, well, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. I don't know, that was mine. Okay,
interesting. I have never heard that before, so I've learned something now. I am disinclined to believe that it actually had, like, a permanent effect on migration patterns.
Well, no, they can't. There's no evidence of that. So, you know, those abolitionists, they were just, you know, trying to hurt businessmen.
Yeah, it's true, you know.
Actually, the article, one of the articles I was reading, it has some really horrible comments in it. A lot of this I got from this article, which I guess is, it's from the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities. It's called Encyclopedia of Virginia, so it's just kind of like a Wikipedia for Virginia or whatever. Like, okay. People can post historical stuff. But in this article, where was this one? Well, somebody bringing up about how Hillary and Bill Clinton, like, did, like, some armed robbery or something. And then,
sure, as they do.
Why should anyone feel guilt for something that someone else did? If we use that logic, Africans invented slavery, still practice it today, so they invented cannibalism? Where's my apology?
What? What?
Slavery was nowhere near the horrific event it is portrayed as. It was a global thing. It was done everywhere. And Muslim countries still practice it. And America was the first to abolish it. Not true.
Yeah.
So quit focusing on it. They're lucky their ancestors were brought here. Tribal life in Africa isn't exactly Beverly Hills.
They should be thanking us. The old they should be thanking us argument. Yeah.
There's another one where, okay, yeah, this one. Slavery was nowhere near the horrific event it is portrayed as. You're right. Being chained, whipped, beaten, raped, have your kids sold to someone else in another city or state, have doctors practice procedures on you before they get it right, have your kids used to catch alligators isn't horrific. It was a global thing. You're right. Oh, wait. Oh, never mind. This is just somebody who's arguing with.
Yeah. But they were being sarcastic.
Oh, yeah.
Because all of those things are indeed quite terrible.
Yeah, never mind. Their argument is...
You know, it's. I guess I can't say that I'm surprised to see stuff like this exist on
but
the
But a lot of it is like, oh, well, if you understood anything about business, libtard, right, then you'd know blah, blah, blah.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is non-related. It's kind
like
of
they're defending slavery, basically.
Yeah, no, you're literally defending slavery. So this is a non sequitur, but it's kind of not unrelated. It made me think of this is that I've recently read two books that one was about a neo-Nazi, and then the book that I'm currently reading is about a woman who befriends a man who confesses that he was part of the SS. He's like in his 90s and he wants this woman to kill him for retribution or whatever. Anyway, I'm kind of like, I've been learning a little bit more about like how people talk about the Holocaust and things like that. And both of these stories have referenced that one of the kind of like party lines that like neo-Nazis say is that, obviously that the Holocaust didn't happen, but two, the Holocaust didn't happen the way that they say that it happened. And they're, both of these stories have referenced, and they're by, they are by the same author. Now that I'm thinking about it, they are by the same author.
Well, there's that famous case in the 90s or early 2000s. And they actually made a recent movie about it starring Rachel Weisz about, this woman who she's like a Jewish journalist or something. And she, there's this guy, this English guy, who claims that the Holocaust never happened. Mm-hmm. And she actually went to court having to prove that the Holocaust happened.
Oh, that sounds vaguely familiar.
Like he like sued her or something for libel or whatever.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the movie, but there's it's a newer movie that came out. It's called Denial. But
we should look into this and then report back on that.
Yeah. But they went to court where, like, she had to defend that the Holocaust existed.
Because, like, it's a thing, obviously. Like, we all know that there's, like, Holocaust, like, deniers and revisionist history and all of that. But the one of their kind of, like, party lines that these folks use is that the Red Cross commended the conditions of the camps, of the, quote, work camps. Like, apparently, they seem to think that there's some, like, written proof out there that the Red Cross came into these camps and, like, commended them for their conditions. So, but my point is that there's always going to be that someone. There's always going to be that someone who just can't seem to, when your beliefs do not align with history, you just, like, you dig in even harder. I don't know.
I don't get the whole defending slavery. Like, well, it was a business decision. Like,
what do you have to gain from defending it? Like, yeah. How do you think that reflects on you now? It's 2017. Like, it's been well established that that was an atrocious
thing. And, like, by saying, like, yeah, so what? Muslim countries still use slavery. Right. Well,
does that,
like,
excuse it? Does that make it okay?
Yeah. No. Are you saying that it's okay that they, like... I don't get the argument there. Like, slavery is bad, no matter
who, no matter what. Right. And the fact, and we still see the repercussions of slavery today in this year, in this country, we are still dealing with the repercussions of slavery because that shit's in their cells. So.
No. And even like with the Confederate flag arguments
and states' rights and, you know, blah-de-blah. And it's all, you know, there's always going to be the person who says, oh, they were just doing their job, or they were just taking orders, and they just, you know, they just wanted to defend their state and blah, blah, you know, whatever.
But that doesn't mean it was okay.
Doesn't make any of it okay, and the fact that you're using those...
Like, yeah, by saying, like, oh, well, Southerners just wanted to defend the way that everything had run with slavery... Right. Is no different than saying, oh, well, the low-level Nazi shoving the Jew into the gas chamber was just doing his job.
Just doing his job. Like, yep, just taking orders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's...
We should talk about... we should find something to discuss R.E., the Holocaust, because it's really heavily...
Like Holocaust denial. And,
yeah, because it's really heavily in my mind lately because of the past two books that I've read.
Well, where did 6 million people disappear to off the face of the planet if it didn't happen?
Right, right. Yeah, I know.
It's like with 9/11 done. Like, where did these 3,000 innocent people go?
Right. Well, you know, there's always going to be... people who I don't know what they have to gain from like having
or like where did the 29 kids or whoever at Sandy Hook however many it was, like, where did they go? Like,
that to me these Sandy Hook deniers, that's one that full-on makes me want to vomit, makes me sick to my stomach, and I will shed tears just with rage that somebody would have the audacity to say that about children. That to me is worse than all of the other bullshit. Like, whatever, if you want to deny the Holocaust, like, okay, you're a fucking idiot, whatever, you're just, but I can just roll my eyes at you and move on. But if you are denying that Sandy Hook happened and you want to blame it as a conspiracy of Obama,
Obama wanting to take your guns away, which never happened. He didn't even attempt to.
No.
And,
I would, if anybody ever tried that shit with me, I would punch them in the fucking face and I wouldn't feel bad about it.
So, this week, just the other day, the Senate Republicans failed to repeal Obamacare.
Skinny repeal. Is that what they're calling it?
Yeah. But they failed to repeal it and replace it with Trump Care in a vote that, you know, it was a good day, and you know, Mitch McConnell sounded like he was choked up, and he was like, well, I guess we'll have to move on now, blah blah blah. So I guess 29 million people won't go uninsured or whatever. But I shot awake not at night, but it was very early morning this morning.
Yeah,
like 6 a.m.
Why were you up so early?
Sun was out. I just woke up.
Yeah.
And
when the sun's out, that's true.
And then I was just sitting in bed thinking about healthcare for some reason. And I started wondering, like, how much does single payer, how much would that cost for us to switch over?
So explain, just do a quick explanation about what single payer means versus like what we have now, just in case anybody doesn't know.
Single payer healthcare, or I will agree with Donald Trump on one thing. Donald Trump said that healthcare is a lot more difficult than he realized, and it is. Like, once I started looking into it, it varies country to country. Each country has kind of their unique little bugaboos or whatever about. But essentially.
But the difference is that he's the fucking president of the United States, and you are not.
Right. I mean, explained very easily, which is a lot easier to explain than insuring people through private insurers. One person pays for your health care, and that's the government.
Uh-huh.
Hence the name single payer.
Mm-hmm.
There's also universal healthcare is interchangeable with this, also, which means that everybody has access to healthcare.
Same as like when people refer to national healthcare system.
NHS is specific to the UK.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
all right.
That's specific to them. Yeah. So rather than having several private insurers that you choose to insure with, single payer comes out of your taxes and you are guaranteed coverage to a certain extent, depending on the country. And single payer healthcare has been attempted in a number of different states in America in some form or another, but it's always failed. Like California, Colorado, Hawaii, Illinois, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Montana, New York, Oregon, Pennsylvania, and Vermont have all had proposed single payer healthcare.
So how does Medicaid here in Oregon differ from single payer healthcare?
Well, Medicaid and Medicare are two very similar programs.
Yeah.
Medicare is funded by the federal government and available to those 65 and older. Unless you have a disability, then you qualify for Medicare. Medicaid is partially funded by the federal government.
Okay.
And then the other part funded by each individual state.
Uh-huh.
And you have to be at a certain income level to qualify for Medicaid. So the two are very similar. But it's more based on income level and how it's funded.
Okay.
But they're both social service.
So they are effectively single payer, other than the fact that Medicaid is sort of like dual funded here in Oregon. Okay.
Yeah. And actually, I mean, maybe I can just skip to what I was going to talk about. In the U.S., we do have Medicare, Medicaid, SCHIP, and the VA, which are already single payer systems.
Just out of curiosity, who do we have to thank for SCHIP?
Hillary Clinton.
Interesting.
With the SCHIP specifically, it's what's the S stand for? I don't know.
Children's health insurance program.
Health insurance. Yeah, but yes,
I used to know. I can't remember now.
Yeah, but it's insurance for children. And then the VA is fully socialized medicine due to the fact that it's totally run and provided by the government
provided to those who have served our country.
Right. So that is a 100% socialized, government run, for the government.
I'm sensing some irony somewhere in here.
So our veterans are cared for in a socialized system. So currently, the annual costs of operating these programs, the ones I just mentioned, and tax deductions for health insurance are estimated at $1.38 trillion, which is the amount that Bernie Sanders has estimated in his Medicare for All proposal per year for the first 10 years. I mean, other people have looked at his proposal and they estimated as it would cost as much as $2.8 trillion. Mm-hmm. But it's roughly about what we already spend to cover fewer people than we would to cover all people.
Yeah. And I wonder if there's a way to reduce healthcare costs.
Well,
I wonder if there may be some sort of like public health issues that we could be addressing.
Well, also by removing private insurers, you remove a lot of hospital overhead and administrative costs, and also a lot of the ground cost wise can be made up by supplementing what you pay in private insurance just for taxes. The guaranteed coverage, which private insurance doesn't do. So basically you get more bang for your buck by paying with your tax dollars versus your hard-earned dollars. other benefits that we've already seen, under Obamacare, which I've stated many times I'm no fan of. I think it's, a Christmas present to the insurance industry. But we have seen a reduction in the number of personal bankruptcies by 50%.
Right.
So,
because to be clear, Obamacare is not health insurance. And I think a lot of people got confused by that. People who don't understand how things work think that Obamacare is health insurance itself, and it's giving health insurance to people. And that's what people are mad about, because nobody thinks that anybody deserves anything if they didn't, quote, work for it. No, all the Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, did was pass legislation that meant that insurance had to be available.
Right, that you're guaranteed coverage. There's no denial based on pre-existing conditions. If you can't afford it, there was a Medicaid expansion under Obamacare, so more people qualified for it under Obamacare. I think also gave more money, increased the amount of money for Medicare for our seniors. But there are a number of countries, a number of countries with either full or partial single payer systems.
Most countries,
right? Well,
like, to be clear,
well, not most, but about 30% of all countries provide some sort of universal healthcare. But among industrialized nations, U.S. and some former Soviet-controlled nations in Eastern Europe
are the only ones who don't have it.
Right.
Yeah. Similarly, see also paid family leave, which is a whole nother topic for another day. But it's like us in Pakistan or some shit.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Pakistan does. It's like Papua New Guinea. Anyway.
But, yeah. So, like, Canada has full single payer. Australia, well, this might be boring, but
vaguely, you know, we're generally familiar. I mean, most industrialized nations do have some sort of.
Australia has a public with private insurance option. High income earners are encouraged to purchase private insurance. In France, 70% of most costs are covered. Pregnancy and long-term illnesses are 100% covered. The remaining 30% can be covered with supplemental private insurance that's usually, in France, provided by your employer.
As a woman who works in the birth and postpartum field, I would be very curious to see what the infant mortality rates are for these countries that have, like, 100% covered prenatal and delivery care.
But a lot of them, like, they still have the private hospitals doctors, but the insurance is paid for by the government. I think there's a lot of fair criticism about single payer. Like, for example, Canada is the developed world's most expensive universal access system.
Right.
They have the longest wait from general practice to treatment, which is 17.7 weeks on average. Whereas patients in Belgium, France, Germany, Japan, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, and Switzerland don't deal with the long wait. And also Australia, Japan, Sweden, Switzerland, and France have better health outcomes than Canadians.
Right, sure.
They also pay less than Canadians for better care.
Because better care equals less cost.
Well, and
say it again for the folks in the back. Public health saves money.
Well, no, Canada is 100% government-run healthcare. The thing that the other countries do successfully is they offer a larger role that the private sector can play to help with cost sharing and provide access to more services.
Okay.
So, like, there are things. I mean, it's not a perfect system. And I think by looking at what works and what doesn't work in other countries, like, obviously Canada, maybe not the best could example. Like, maybe we could learn, you know, what they.
Yeah, we can take a letter from that, and then we can borrow ideas from other countries.
Yeah, from like Sweden and Japan and all the other countries. And
I think the point of this is that, you know, like, obviously these systems—they're not perfect. These systems are not perfect, but which one will kill fewer people?
Right, and I mean, we already have a higher infant mortality rate than any of the other industrialized
countries anywhere.
And versus these countries that do provide healthcare for their citizens.
We also have some of the lowest breastfeeding rates in the entire world, and that is directly related to mortality later in life and illness and long-term illness and obesity and diabetes and all of these things, those are all directly related to...
Well, and yeah, preventative care is cheaper in the long run than just going to the emergency room when you need
which
to.
Which is why an investment in public health will pay out in spades.
Yeah, you can have people work in the workforce longer rather than people going out on disability.
Or absolutely. Or these people who can't work anymore because their diabetes, they've lost their feet. Because they didn't take care of their diabetes, or they've gone blind.
Well, yeah, and I think, yeah, looking at what works and what doesn't work in other countries, I mean, in a way, us being kind of the last horse to cross the finish line, like, it puts us at an advantage because we can kind of roadmap how we want it to go and what works and what doesn't. Right. And I mean, it sounds like a public-private sort of partnership would be best.
Well, because what is happening right now in this country is not working, period.
Well, and I don't trust this particular government provide...
No, absolutely not. We know they are not
interested... Like, to pay for doctors and
absolutely not. And they sure as shit are not interested in protecting women.
Whereas if you just paid government money to private doctors and private hospitals... I think you see a better outcome because they're going to want to treat as many people as best as possible in a more efficient way.
Right.
But, you know, and it seems weird to me that, like, we're so opposed to it. We're so opposed to this idea. But most people seem really willing to, like, dig deep at Christmas time and donate to charity, like, around the holidays, or donate to, like, Kickstarter for a loved one who needs bear the burden of medical costs.
Right, because we're the only fucking country on the planet that has to start GoFundMe accounts to pay our medical bills.
But I just think, like, why isn't this sense of duty present when it comes to healthcare.
Absolutely. Right. No. And where's the sense of duty when it comes to preventative healthcare too? Like, it's even to take it even to the next level. Like, we have no interest in investing in public health. It's why people think that WIC is bullshit and that we shouldn't be giving food stamps to people. And
well, and also if you're afraid that it's like, oh, I don't want my tax dollars going to this lazy asshole who doesn't work and blah, blah, blah. Right. What do you think private insurance is? Yeah. Like, you are paying for, like, with private insurance, with your car, with your house, with your health, whatever, any type of insurance you have, you're paying that premium because there are other people who need it, who are using it, and not you. And it's the same exact thing.
And the bottom line is that people just don't understand this. Like, we don't collectively know this kind of knowledge and information, and we're just so, it's so much easier to just dig our heels in and say, you know, that we believe that you should have to take care of yourself, and I took care of myself and I turned out okay and blah blah blah. And no, we are not a collective society. We don't give a shit about other people.
But with private insurance, that's how it works. You are a collective, like, insurance forces you to be a collectivist in society. So rather than pay for something that you might get denied if you need to use at some point, like, let's say, oh, well, it turns out you had a cyst all along or whatever, so we can't insure you, so we're dropping you.
Yeah.
You have guaranteed coverage, so why not just pay for something that you have guaranteed coverage?
Right.
Versus this gamble with private insurance. It makes no sense.
Absolutely no sense. It makes no sense, and it's just so broken. And
I would rather take the $200 or whatever I spend per month on private insurance, and if they just took that out in taxes, it would make no difference to me.
And put it towards the collective single payer, and then it
like
can
from
go
my
farther.
Paycheck, I get a deduction for I don't even know what it is, but I should. But
I don't actually know how much ours is either, for what it's worth.
But I know it's not like it's not burdensome. But
well, you're also one person. You're not like
you don't have a family.
And,
yeah. But if they just took that money and then put it towards taxes,
right? Yeah, but we can't because taxes are it's a dirty word. right?
Well, then put it, like, instead of calling it taxes, call it healthcare for me. And right. Then...
call it your future you, like, savings account, or whatever the fuck it's going to take to get you people to open your eyes.
Yeah, call it hospice care, or whatever, right. Or whatever you
need. Seriously. God. How is it that us two, like, moderately educated fuckwads just sitting here with a microphone can figure this out, well, and the people in Washington can't?
And they found that asking people about it, like polling, people are more open to single payer when you say, oh, would you be open to Medicare for all?
Right.
Versus, right. Would you like socialize medicine?
Yeah. Oh, no, can't say socialized. No, no.
Because everybody loves Medicare.
Right.
And
everybody loves Medicare, but nobody loves socialism.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Even though it's the
Connie,
same thing.
Connie, but...
Well, so yeah, when you ask people, I just find that funny. Like,
it's but, ridiculous. It's funny because it's just so.
Well, it's sad that semantics are holding us up.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, that is all super depressing and makes me like filled with rage. So let's talk about alcohol.
Recently in the news, what the hell? Oh, there's an ad playing. Why do all websites have autoplay videos?
Because it works. Because it gets
it works at like turning, like clicking out of the website.
Yeah.
Because if you're in like a public place and it's quiet, like you're just gonna click out of it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But not you, because you need to use it to talk about what we're about to talk about.
I guess if they get the click and it's open, then that's all they care about.
Yep.
But so yes, the U.S. is warning travelers to Mexico about tainted or counterfeit alcohol.
All right, well, counterfeit alcohol.
Following the death of a Wisconsin woman.
Oh, shit. Okay, so I'm going into this blind. I don't know anything about this, so get ready for some real off-the-cuff stuff.
So there was a 20-year-old woman who died because she became sick after drinking alcohol at Mexican resorts.
Okay, like one of these like all-inclusives?
Yeah.
What city was it in?
Playa del Carmen.
Okay.
She was pulled from a pool at Iberostar Resort near Playa del Carmen in January.
January? It's almost August.
After the story, the paper received numerous reports from others who said they got sick and experienced blackouts at resorts in Cancun and Playa del Carmen.
They blacked out while drinking alcohol?
Well, that's the thing that I wanted to talk about. And the resorts say the safety and security of guests is utmost priority for us. We're deeply saddened by this incident and reiterate our deepest sympathies and condolences for the family. Basically, she had drowned in a pool.
That's awful.
And, Mexico's tourism secretary, Marisol Venegas, said the nation has not received any complaint or criminal case on the subject. She said the region receives 11 million tourists a year at more than 98,000 hotel rooms and adheres to strict quality measures.
Okay.
Sure. This 20-year-old drank some alcohol at this resort.
And then drowned
in a pool. And
tragic. Like,
yeah.
Goes without saying, certainly. That's awful.
There have been allegations that consumption of tainted or substandard alcohol has resulted in illness or blacking out.
Are there standards for alcohol?
Well, the thing is, I'm wondering, if you're on vacation in Mexico, is, you know, it's kind of like a party country. Like, everybody's cutting loose and...
Especially
if you're a 20-year-old American.
Yes, you drink in Mexico.
If you're a 20-year-old American...
Yes.
You're probably going to drink a lot more than you ever have in your life.
I mean, with the caveat that, like, it still costs money. I mean, it's probably cheaper than,
but she's at
Vegas,
an all-inclusive resort, so...
It's not cheap, but okay. So, people are drinking tons in Mexico.
So a 20-year-old, though.
So did she perhaps potentially like surpass her limit because she doesn't know what her limits are because she's 20?
Right.
Possibly.
It could be, and then she drowned in the pool,
which is awful.
Well, and that's how most deaths at Disneyland occur are drunk people trying to swim to Tom Sawyer Island. Like, they drowned.
And or stand up on rides. Can confirm, 100%. Done a lot of research on deaths at Disneyland. That's
real. Isn't a lot of them drowning because drunk real. People get, try to get in the water?
Yeah. 100%, yes. That and getting stuck in faulty walls.
What?
Well, okay. So there was this thing. There was this thing called America Sings, and it was sort of like a stage show kind of thing with the animatronics and the creepy. You know, it's back in the '70s, and so like a cast member got there. There's these like walls that would like turn that were kind of like on turntable sort of things, and were kind of like accordion shaped. I think she got stuck in one of those and died like during a show. I think it might have been the first Disneyland death. Anyway. That's a weird thing for me to know, but I do, because I know a lot about Disneyland deaths.
Well, avoid the accordion walls, but...
It's long gone now. Okay, so she was the one... So she was the one person that died, and then people came forward saying, hey, I got sick and blacked out.
Like, hey, I drank alcohol, and I vomited and blacked out, and... Well, no, I mean, there are other stories of people claiming that they just woke up in the hospital, they don't remember how they got there after drinking... And, and the State Department has issued a security update, like, guidance on drinking safely in Mexico. Yeah,
maybe
and
maybe don't be a fucking idiot when drinking.
Yeah, so the State Department has come forward, which I think makes, like, it's brought this story to the forefront. The State Department has said,
hey, had to come forward and say,
be careful when you're drinking in Mexico. Make sure you know who's making your drink, blah, blah, blah. Make sure
who's making your drinks. Make sure you're staying hydrated.
Well, we'll get to that. I found expert tips for avoiding tainted alcohol.
Okay, so, but we have no actual, like, corroboration that there was any tainted alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
But something interesting I found from CTV News, which is Canadian TV.
Okay.
The headline is, no reports of Canadians sickened by possibly tainted alcohol in Mexico. Canadians travel to Mexico. Actually, I learned Mexico is the number one international destination for Americans.
I believe that because it's right there, and it's
I guess that makes sense. I would have thought maybe Canada or something, but
No. I will tell you exactly why people go. One, Mexico is warmer than Canada.
Yeah,
two,
that's
there's
true.
Beaches in Mexico. Three, you can drink in Mexico. Four, swim up bars.
Well, can't you drink at like 19 in Canada?
Yeah, but it's cold. The weather is the
and
same
it's more
as
expensive.
Here. It's
Mexico
way
is
way cheaper. It's way more expensive to go to Canada. The vibe is just not the same. I have been to both, and I have had way more fun in Mexico than I ever did in Canada. Granted, when I went to Canada, I was not old enough to drink, so I guess there is that.
I just think it's funny that, like, Canada is saying, we haven't heard anything, so this could be bullshit. Who knows?
Right, yeah.
And they don't feel that it's a risk, that they need to put out any official statement or anything like that. So.
I mean, no more so than, like, the bottom line, 20-year-olds do not know how to drink. They just, like, of
well,
course
they're
also blacking
out
in Mexico.
Other people who have come forward and said, you know, like, now people are coming out of the woodwork to say, oh, yeah, when I was in Mexico, I vomited, I blacked out.
Must be really nice to not have to, like, take responsibility for your actions.
I had bruises and, like, you know, like, I've had really heavy nights of drinking where, like, I wake up sore and I'm like, oh, I probably fell down or like hit my head on something or whatever, like it.
Oh, okay, well, yeah, but beat it as me.
But according to USA Today, here's some tips for avoiding. Well, I'm not even gonna read these because it's,
is there anything we don't already know? Well, okay, the difference is though is that like when I was 19, 20, 21 and drink, I didn't know how to, like, drink right.
Well, this says if you're going to a hotel or all-inclusive resort, get recommendations, read reviews, check several sources. If it has a AAA rating.
Well, that's just common sense, though.
Insist on watching your drink being made.
That's not terrible advice, because people are terrible.
If you're suspicious of the color or taste of your drink, trust your instincts. Consider drinking bottled or canned beer or wine. Bring your own alcohol in. Buy your own alcohol at the airport. Pay the corking fee. Never leave your drink unattended. Be observant of your surroundings.
Okay, but that doesn't actually address the all. Okay, all of those things are fair enough, and you know that is. We're bordering onto like rape culture here, but that's going to protect you from tainted alcohol. Like,
I could see though, like the bar at the hotel or whatever, they just make a really stiff margarita.
Sure.
And if they make it really heavy and you know go have a heavy hand when pouring it, like that could make someone who's maybe not a drinker feel sick. And
yes, absolutely, without a doubt. Especially, I don't know, tiny little 20-year-old women.
Yeah.
I'm not buying this tainted alcohol.
It is something that does occur in Mexico. I was reading about that also.
Tainted alcohol occurs in Mexico?
There's like counterfeit alcohol.
What is counterfeit alcohol?
So it's made with it's like cheap, like knockoff, like moonshine sort of.
Okay.
It's made with a lower grade alcohol than ethanol.
Pass it off as like, well, all right. I mean, I guess buyer beware. I don't know.
But I don't think that's being sold to white people resorts.
Probably not. Wow, that is a very interesting.
But all of this is unsubstantiated.
Totally. You know, now that I'm thinking about it, so you know how they say don't drink the water when you go to Mexico because you'll die.
Well, that's something they mention is if they're making your drink with ice,
right?
Be careful, because
that's exactly it. Yeah. No, yeah, you're gonna get diarrhea, like 100%. But that I'm now thinking about it, like when I went to Mexico, I was like, oh, I can't drink the water, and I'm not gonna eat the lettuce because the lettuce has been washed in Mexican water, and I bought the bottled water. I was drinking margaritas, right? Which are made with what?
Ice.
Like, what? We're so stupid. I was...
Yeah, like if you have ice in your drink, it could be made with Mexican water and you could get sick that way.
Now, I do have to say, the first time I went to Mexico, I did avoid drinking tap water, and we'd only buy bottled water, and I think we even brushed our teeth with bottled water. But I was drinking all those margaritas and whatever. Didn't get sick, but when I went to Mexico a second time, I definitely got diarrhea.
I know, I just, the fact that, like, Canadians have not experienced any problems just leads me to believe that it's...
Dumb Americans.
Yeah.
In our repressed, puritanical society.
Like, I drank too much, and now I feel sick.
Oh, color me shocked. Oh, you drank some poison and you feel like shit now? Wow. Yeah.
It seems very privileged and, like, the...
Right. And very, like, not wanting to take accountability and, like, wanting to blame brown people, which we love to do. We love to do. That's our favorite thing.
And they would be complaining on Yelp if the drinks were really weak. Like,
I've had
stronger margaritas at Senior Frogs or whatever. Like,
yeah, that's true. Well, that's fun. It's terrible that a woman died. Like, to be clear, of course that's awful.
But a million drunk people have drowned. Like,
and each time it was terrible, and I'm not going to blame them for drinking. Like, that's not the point. Like, no.
Brian Jones, the founder of the Rolling Stones, died that way.
Drowned while being drunk?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But anyway,
oh, what a fun fact. We're full of those tonight.
Mind your P's and Q's when you're in Mexico or anywhere for that matter.
Mind your P's and poos, more like it.
Good one.
Thank you.
So, do you have a joke for us?
Yes, I do. It's, it is appropriate. So the owner of a drugstore walks in to find a guy leaning heavily against a wall. The owner asks the clerk, "What's with that guy over there by the wall?" The clerk says, "Well, he came in here this morning to get something for his cough. I couldn't find the cough syrup, so I gave him an entire bottle of laxative." "You idiot, you can't treat a cough with laxatives." "Oh yeah? Look at him. He's afraid to cough." Diarrhea joke.
Always the best. Reliable. Yeah. Old reliable. Yeah. Old trusty. Old faithful.
And hashtag on brand for us, apparently. Yes.
So, where can people both listen to us and interact socially with us?
You can interact with us socially on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at Friendemonium, and we're at friendemonium.tumblr.com. You can also email us at friendemonium.pod@gmail.com, and you can listen to us on Stitcher and Apple Podcasts and Podbean. And that took me a minute to remember because Apple Podcasts, because we have changed it recently.
It's not iTunes.
Not iTunes.
Hey, you can go through iTunes to find us.
Or you, but it's now called Apple Podcasts. And now we're on Podbean as well. So you can find us there. And that are, where are we at with the Google Play? No mas.
If you miss us on Google Play, let us know and we'll figure something out. But like, Google Play is an inferior podcast, sort of.
Right. Podbean seems to be working really well for us. Now, the million-dollar question is, do you think perhaps someday we should do YouTube?
I've looked into that, and I think, well, this is not a conversation to have on the air, but
I thought it was gonna be a simple answer. Excuse me.
Short answer, yes. Long answer, no. But
okay, well, fair enough. We can discuss that off the air, but I have had requests that folks would like to see us interacting visually for the more visual types.
Oh, I see what you mean. I thought you meant uploading the audio to...
I mean, I doubt people would use it for that. But I think that I have had some feedback that they would enjoy watching us interact. So just, you know, if you're interested in that, let us know.
We can get a webcam.
Yeah, easy enough.
Be a couple of cam
girls. Cam girls!
We'll do some pay-to-play sort of action. So until next week... May the roof above us never fall in, and may the friendemonium below us never fall out.
Yay.